Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be here. Truly enjoyed the worship service this morning, being able to sing those songs from heart that, you know, when you experience those words and it just seems like you can express it, and it's just so enjoyable to be able to worship God, especially on a beautiful morning like this. The sun is shining, and we get to gather this morning unhindered. We get to have the Word of God in our hands, and we get to hear the Word of God. I'm so grateful to be able to have that privilege this morning. I have a picture I want to hang up. Could Brother Timothy, could you lead song number 530 in the Christian hymnary? If you could sing 530, and we won't sing the whole song. If you want to sing verses 1 and 3, and the chorus after each verse, verses 1 and 3. Father, we thank you for this privilege this morning. We thank you for caring this morning. Thank you for your love to us this morning. I pray, God, you would calm my trembling heart and use these feeble lips for your honor and glory in these few moments in this opening to inspire some soul, Lord, that is hurting this morning, maybe some soul that has lost its way. Father, I pray, dear God, you would just use these moments for your honor and your glory. Help me to be yielded to the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct my tongue for your honor and glory. Help me to say only those things that you inspire me to. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. The story behind that song, Does Jesus Care? J.C. Penney, the owner and the founder of the J.C. Penney chain stores that you see around today. I think it's this song. If it's not, it's something very close to it. Had a little roadside shack one day. I told my children this story, and I might have shared this here before, but I'm sure some of you may have not heard this story. But he had a roadside shack that he sold used clothing. In this, and that was the only source of income for a large family that he had. Well, something happened in the economy in that day that the economy crashed, sales went to nothing, and he lost his business, and he had to close up his only source of income. Well, instead of turning to God, he turned to despair in that time, and he was in such deep despair that he landed in the hospital, in a mental hospital, that he stayed in there for several weeks. And he was brooding over his hurt, brooding over his discouragement. And one day, he was walking down the hallway of the hospital, and he heard the words of that song, Does Jesus Care? Oh yes, he cares. And he heard that, and he ran to the chapel, and he got on his knees, and he just simply repented of his discouragement and said, I know you care, Lord. This is but a small thing for you to help me in my financial crisis. And he was lifted up from that day and was able to serve God with a glad heart. And that's my burden. It's been a burden on my heart for quite some time. For, I don't know if it's because some things we faced as a family, and because maybe some things I've faced in the past. Hope for hurting Christians, or hope for hurting people. And I don't know how to bring out my heart. Sometimes I have a really hard time bringing out the burden that is in my heart. And I want to do it in a short time this morning, just to maybe to encourage someone that is hurting. Someone that has lost its way. And I think of a story, not really a story, but an analogy of a soldier in battle. I think each soldier has a comrade, if I'm not mistaken. And in my unconverted days, I watched a lot of movies, and watched a lot of movies like that, violent movies, and movies of such like, where the soldier was walking in the battlefront, these two soldiers, and they were fighting together, fighting off the enemy, and all of a sudden his comrade, his co-soldier, that was his closest friend, fell, was struck by a bullet. And instead of running, most times, most generally, a good comrade will stop and would turn around in the face of the fiery battle, will pick up his comrade and drag him to safety and help him. And that is similar to the burden on my heart this morning, that we as Christians, ye who are strong, would restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. And let's turn to Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 4 for our text. And we'll go through this rather quickly. Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 4. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, Christ. God has put his spirit upon Christ, a prophecy before this all took place. He shall bring forth judgment, justice, not crashing condemnation, but justice to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. And these are the two verses that I want to focus on. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth justice, judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he has set judgment on the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. And that word judgment doesn't mean condemnation, doesn't mean anything of destroying. It means justice. He wants to, between the Jews and the Gentiles, God wants to bring justice. And he will do that through his Son, Jesus Christ. Oftentimes, and I just had this experience the other day, I went into my garage. My garage, if you've ever been to my place, sometimes it gets a little messy. And I went through my garage the other day, and there's piles laying all over. And I go through my garage, and I brought both of my trash barrels close to my garage, and I started picking up the things that are of no value to me. The things that are maybe broken, the things that are bruised, and I pitched them in the Serval trash can. And we all do those kind of things. And I want to just share my heart in purity this morning. I truly mean what I say. We can do these things to souls today. And I want to move through it rather quickly. And if we could turn to... I'm not sure if I have time for both of the accounts. First, turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Verses 30 through 32. Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 32. Okay, and Jesus answering them, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among the thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. And just stopping right there for a moment, I like to take that maybe slightly out of its context of a person, maybe a hurting soul, that has been stabbed or struck through by the dagger of sin or discouragement or despair or whatever it may be. And instead of coming alongside as a comrade to that person, a fellow Christian, we can so often, I've experienced these things to people that have maybe fell in discouragement. And I look at them and I'm saying, you know, you need to just get up. And I pass by maybe on the other side of the road to this fallen Christian or this fallen hurt person. And like the priest that went on the other side, or the Levite, he just came and he looked on him. He kind of stopped for a moment. He looked at him and saw the hopeless situation and just says, I can't be of any help. I have no means to restore this dear person. And he went on his way. Now let's go to another account in John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verses 1 through 6, if I can find it. We're starting in verse 3. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses and the law commanded us that such a one should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. Just real briefly, my thought is that when someone's hurting, that we don't pass by on the other side of the road, or we don't bring this person before God and say, look what he did. He's a sinner. He's lost. And he needs to repent and throw him at the feet of Christ and let him there, without a compassion in our heart, willing to suffer with him. That is just a part of what is on my heart. And then on the flip side of all this, we as humans can be this way. And I say this because I've been this way. I've done these things before. When I saw a discouraged person, maybe not being real caring in my heart. And I say this not to compromise. I don't want to ever compromise with sin. I trust you understand my heart. But to be like Jesus, to be like Christ, a bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. When we see a bruised reed in the ditch, I don't know what they're really good for. I didn't take time to look at that. We tend to just pass it off and look for a good solid one. And we can do that with humans, but Christ isn't that way. Jesus doesn't have that heart. Yet Jesus has a standard of righteousness that he will never change. And his standard of righteousness is pure heart service to God, a surrendered heart to him. That's Christ's standard. And he wants everybody to come to that standard. But he also has, with this standard, he can mix with his all power, he can mix this love that goes far beyond our comprehension and fall down beside a broken sinner and help him up. Maybe far beyond what we can even do. But he has that heart. He has that compassion. A bruised reed, he doesn't want to break. He doesn't want to see a smoking, smoldering, flaming Christian just go out to nothing. He wants to restore that person into a vibrant relationship once again with him. And I didn't really talk about this picture. Maybe we can look, you can just observe this picture. You see the posture of both of these creatures in this picture. You know, you see Christ, a picture of Christ. He went out of his way. And he stooped down over the edge of the cliff in much danger of hurting himself. And he was reaching for this lamb that was lost. But this lamb is also turned towards Christ. And we can maybe talk about that a little later. But God isn't that way. He doesn't just cast us off when we're slightly bruised or we have slightly lost our way. He wants to restore us. He wants to give us another chance. He wants to give us that vibrant relationship that maybe we once experienced and we've lost. God wants to do that to us. And oh, that we as people, we as Christians, as parents, as young people, we could do that as well. When you see another young person hurting, when you see him broken, instead of standing there observing him and passing by on the other side of the street, would you go beside him? Would you pick him up and tell him you love him and tell him that you care for him. God seeks through the pile of rubbish for the broken things to restore them and to heal them. He seeks through the Pharisee attitude. He goes right down past that. And he wants to look for that broken man, that broken woman, that young person that is just broken and empty. And I want to tell you these things, that brokenness, or a bruised reed and a smoking flax, these things come out in different ways. In my own life, I was hurt. There was a time in my life when I got hurt so bad that I laid in the basement of my house. I laid there. I was so broken. I was so hurt that I couldn't get up. And I know someone who cared for me. Someone who came and wrapped his arms of love around me and cared for me. And he says, I love you. I know what you're going through. I know the feeling. I know the pain. And he was able to give me courage. But had I laid there, maybe had I didn't have anyone who come alongside, maybe I could have let this bitterness fester and this hurt fester, and I'd have lost my way. God truly seeks through that pile of rubbish, through the broken things. The Savior seeks the trampled and the bruised, the poor in spirit, those crushed by the blows of this fallen world, and seeks to restore them. Matthew 18, verses 11 through 14. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them have gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which one has gone astray? If so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more over that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, is it not the will of our Father which is in heaven, that not one of these little ones perish? Now that's the will of God. That's truly the will of God, that not one of these little ones perish. Not one of the people that have professed to be born again. He doesn't want them to ever perish. A story of a father. This is kind of a secular story, a different, but I'm going to make a point here. A father who was training his young son to run, and he had a passion in his heart that this young son would win a gold medal at the Olympics. And as his son was training, he was doing very well. He was prospering, and he became a very fast runner. And it came to the day of the Olympics, and the father was in the grandstands watching his son run this race. And they were standing at the starting line waiting for the firing of the pistol to take off. And they took off as fast as they could go. And this young son was winning the battle. He was winning the race. He was going to win the gold medal. And all of a sudden, he slipped and he fell. And he tore a hamstring or something in his hip. The father rushes out of the grandstands, breaks through security, walks up beside his sons and puts his hand around his shoulder and races him across the finish line. You know, that's a worldly story. But you know what? The father could have been looking up like so many people do today when they see a bruised reed or they see a smoking flax. They see a fallen Christian and they just said, forget it. He messed up. He lost it. And we go seek for a good one. But the father wanted to help his son. And I tell you, that's the heart of our God. That he wants to help us as well. He wants to lift up. I'm not so much talking about a rebellious person that is living in strict rebellion, but maybe a person that got hurt, a person that is broken and was crushed by one of Satan's arrows. And the end of the accounts in Luke chapter 10, you know, the Good Samaritan, we know what happened there. He came and he stooped down and he looked and he gave aid to the hurting man, and he put him on his donkey and took him to an inn and said, I'll pay for whatever it's going to cost to bring him back to complete health. And Jesus with the adulterous woman, there again, this is standard. He says, woman, where are thine accusers? And she says, I don't have any, Lord. And he said, neither do I condemn thee. But he gives that that strict command. Don't go and sin no more. But this has to be the posture of the hurting person. You know, if you feel like you have fallen, if you feel like you have been hurt, because so often in our hurts, you know, it comes out in various ways. Our hurts come out in various ways. It can come out in rebellion. You know, it can come out in seeking the approval of everyone else. But deep down you're hurting. Deep down you're wanting restoration. And I tell you, the truth is that God is in that business. God is in that business of restoring. You know, He didn't send Jesus Christ into this world to give a perfect example of a beautiful life that... And He did that. But what was the purpose of this? Christ coming into the world. It says that Jesus came to seek and to save them that are lost. My wife, in the time of her breaking through the bondage of sin, and she turned her heart towards God. And after she did that, she fell into deep despair. Does God really want me? Does He really care? Is there any hope for me? I've fallen so far. I've did so many bad things. Lord, is there something? And this was her on her knees one morning in her bedroom in deep despair, broken. Is God there? Does He care about me? And this verse came to her, "For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost." Beauty. This was the Father at that point in her life reaching down and saying, "I love you. I care about you. I want to restore you. I want to bring you in relationship and fellowship with me so that you can now walk in the beauty of a Christian." That is the ministry of Christ. You know, He came and He lived this life. He died and He resurrected, and now He's seated at the Father's right hand, and He's interceding for our every need this morning. He knows what it's like when you're struggling. He knows what it's like when you're hurting in your heart. So therefore, He can go to the Father and He can say, "Father, this person down here is struggling. He's hurting. I know what he's going through. I know the feelings because I was human. I know those feelings. And God, pour out your grace upon that person's life." Just a few verses in Psalms 34:18. You don't have to turn to it. Just paraphrasing, the Lord is near the brokenhearted. He cares. He's close to those that are broken. He's close to those that are hurting. Isaiah 61 verse 1, He binds up the brokenhearted. He heals. He brings restoration. Isaiah 53 verse 3, He was a man of sorrows, and we sung that song. He was acquainted with grief. We talked about that. He knows what that's like. He knows what hurting is like. And I think of a good Samaritan, as we, you know, Luke chapter 10, where the good Samaritan walked past and he saw this hurting person. And he stopped and he helped. And I think of Brother Henry come out this weekend. You know, a good Samaritan, he cares about us. He helped us as a congregation. He helped us to start. And he has a passion for us. And he wants to come this weekend and share with us. That's a good Samaritan. That's going out of your way. That's not passing by on the other side. But that's grabbing your comrade around the neck, picking him up and putting him on the donkey and taking him towards restoration. In closing, Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, the beginning of the chapter, Isaiah prophesies in so many ways where God is talking to the Israelites here. He's talking to the Jews, and He's telling them, you know, "I'm really fed up with all your glamour, your worship that you're trying to drum up from your heart, but your heart is far away from me. You're not after me." And He goes on to say this beautiful invitation. He says, "Come now. Now let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they shall be as wool." You know, those are promises from God. God's looking at a people at this point in time that are worshiping, and they don't know what they're doing. They don't really care about God. They're just doing the sacrifices every day. But God is looking at this and He's saying, you know, "Stop this. Come. I got a plan. You know, let's reason together. Your sins are as scarlet this morning. They're red. They're stinky in my sight. But I'm willing to look beyond all that. I'm willing to look past that stench of sin that you're involved in. And I'm willing to do this to you. If you turn your heart to me, I'm willing to restore you. I'm willing to take that red stain of sin and change it and blot it out. Isaiah 44. This thought just came to me. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of thee. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Please, that's the plea of God this morning. You know, a bruised reed shall he not break. A smoking flax shall he not quench. Don't struggle. Don't let it be that Jesus can one day say, and I said these words many times here as I was maybe leading worship, don't let it be at the end of your life that, you know, God was reaching down over this cliff. He was reaching down over the dangerous ravine, reaching down for your soul, reaching down to help you up. Let it not be said that God, at the last day when you die, you know, my friend, all day long I have stretched out my hands. I have beckoned unto you. I have called you. I wanted to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks. Let not that be said of you, but you would not. You would not. You turned away from God, and you would rather plunge deeper into your sin or deeper into your despair. If you're discouraged, you know, the same word for bruised is discouraged. That's the same Greek word that it uses. And the same word for smoking is feeble, weak, bruised, discouraged, weak. I can't take another step in life. When you're there, please, I beg of you, turn to God. Turn to God, because He can heal you. He can give you that joy that He wants, that you once had. God doesn't want to put out or extinguish or to expire your life. When He sees you drowning in despair or drowning in whatever you're drowning in, He wants to restore you. He wants to give back the life that you once had. May God bless you.